With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
There was a line of thinking within the industry. Maybe the producers would choose not to plant corn and plant more beans compared to what the survey was in March. And what we pretty much found out for the most part here on the June survey is it was very, very little adjustment from the one survey to the next.
Jim McCormick is co-founder and COO of AgMarket.net.
How we gather this data, or how the USDA gathers this data, it fills out surveys to producers, they fill it out. Unfortunately, Tony, they don't get a really good response rate, which means there is room for error on this numbers, and there will be some subtle adjustments more than likely. Using last year's number, between the March survey and the certified acres finally coming out, there's about a 3 million acre increase. So the difference is this is relatively low response. The certified acres is all part of the farm program. So when we finally get that data in late July, August into September, those numbers will give us a little bit better handle what actually got planted.
McCormick, talking about the annual acreage report, gives grain markets a clearer summer supply map. It's led by fewer corn acres and more soybean acres. National Ag Statistics Service estimates corn planted area 95.3 million acres. That's down 3% from last year, near the average trade guess. Harvested corn for grain area estimated at 87.4 million acres. Soybean planted area, 85.4 million acres. That's up 5% year over year and nearly matches the pre-report expectations. Wheat acreage, though, came in lower than expected. All wheat area, 42.7 million acres, down 6% from last year and well below the average trade guess. Cotton acres also moving higher. USDA with an estimate of 9.85 million acres, up 6%. And above the average trade guess. Now, the June 1st grain stocks report showed larger corn, bean, and wheat supplies than last year. Corn and wheat, though, came in below the average trade expectations. National Ag Statistics Service says corn stocks, 5.29 billion bushels. It's up 14% year over year, but was below the average trade guess. Soybean stocks, 1.06 billion bushels, up 5% year over year, slightly above the average trade guess. Old crop wheat stocks, 920 million bushels, up 8% over last year, but below the average trade guess. Grain sorghum stocks, down 33% to 66.7 million bushels. Now, the report gives markets fresh demand signals as traders weigh acreage, weather, and summer basis risk. USDA is testing a streamlined acreage reporting process as producers prepare for the major July 15th reporting deadline for many spring-planted crops. Farm Service Agency says the pilot is part of the administration's One Farmer, One File effort. The goal? To move away from paper maps and toward an electronic interface that can reduce paperwork for producers and county office staff. Pilot locations include all of Maryland and North Dakota and selected counties in Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Now, producers outside those specific counties will report acreage as usual. And this is Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
There's a reason why the Midwest states of Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, and Indiana are referred to as the Corn Belt region.
University of Illinois ag economist Nick Paulson.
Historically, corn has been king in these regions, which produces the majority of the corn grown in the U.S. each year. However, farm-level data from Illinois shows that soybeans have been the more profitable crop over the past 13 crop years. So what has changed, and how have Illinois farmers responded? In a recent FarmDoc Daily article, we took a look at this issue. We examined returns from central Illinois grain farms on high-productivity farmland over 2000 to 2025. For the first half of this 25-year period, corn was generally the more profitable crop. Corn generated higher returns than soybeans in 10 of those 13 years, with an average advantage of about $59 per acre. A major factor which provided corn the edge during this period was the biofuel boom, which occurred in the latter half of the 2000s. The renewable fuel standard mandates resulted in expanding ethanol production and increased demand for corn, supporting strong prices and corn acreage increases. However, from 2013 through 2025, soybeans outperformed corn in 10 out of those 13 years. On average, soybeans generated about $53 more per acre than corn over this period. Corn briefly regained the advantage from 2020 to 2022 due to pandemic-related assistance programs, supply chain disruptions, and higher commodity prices. But overall, the recent long-term trend since 2013 has favored soybeans. Farmers' planting decisions over the last 25 years seem consistent with these relative profitability trends. Data from the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Association shows that the percentage of farmland planted to corn trended upward from 2000 to 2012, but has trended downward since 2013. In northern Illinois, corn acreage peaked at just over 69% of total planted acres in 2011. Today, it has fallen below 60%. In central Illinois, corn share has dropped from nearly 60% in the mid-2000s to around 50% more recently. Southern Illinois has also seen the corn acreage share decline from roughly 47% in 2012 to around 40% by 2024. Since corn and soybeans dominate Illinois crop rotations, fewer corn acres imply more soybean acres. A number of factors have contributed to the shift in relative profitability over the last 12 years. First, soybean yields have been consistently strong. Since the 2012 drought, soybean yields in Illinois have exceeded trend yield levels in nearly all years, with the one exception being the 2019 crop year, which had an extremely wet planting season. Improvements in management practices and new technologies such as seed treatments have allowed for earlier soybean planting dates, resulting in yield increases. Second, soybeans are associated with lower non-land production costs. Corn requires more fertilizer and typically involves higher machinery and operating costs. Those expenses have risen sharply in recent years, especially after the pandemic. Soybeans' lower production costs have contributed to their relative return advantage over corn, particularly during the tighter margin periods from 2014 to 2019, and more recently since 2023. Third, the biofuel growth that helped increase corn demand in the second half of the 2000s began to level off by the mid-2010s. At the same time, demand for soybean oil increased as biodiesel and renewable diesel industries expanded. A key question going forward is whether soybeans will continue to maintain a relative profitability advantage. If so, acreage in Illinois and across the Midwest region could continue to shift towards a larger share planted to soybeans. However, agronomic concerns associated with more soybean-heavy crop rotations, including disease, weed pressure, and pest management challenges, could limit how far that shift goes.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You know that back in 2020, a countervailing duty rate was asked to be put in place against Morocco and Russia. Mm-hmm. And that was approved in 21. And it's been in place ever since. And that meant that we were losing import supply of phosphate from one of our most important trade partners, Morocco.
Vice President of Fertilizer was StoneX, Josh Linville.
And Trump has talked about this. Secretary Rockholms has talked about this quite a bit. And they finally followed through with it. And they're finally taking action. From the sounds of it, the suspension's either supposed to be 8 months or until the end of the review, with the review being the sunset 5-year review that started this last spring. Now, there's several ways to look at it. Let's look at just the pure economic standpoint of this thing. Take out all the emotion, take off everything else. Just look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This means absolutely nothing today. And the reason being, if you look at the price chart here, NOLA DAP is the cheapest major phosphate price in the world for major prices. There are some other locations out there in the world that are higher priced. Right now, North America is already the cheapest. Now, please don't make the mistake of me sitting there saying, oh, it's cheap. It is not cheap. It's still very, very expensive, but we are at the lowest end of everybody else out there. So if you're Morocco, yeah, you've just removed these duties and these tariffs and you can start flowing freely once again. But why target the cheapest price in the world? And especially a market that's sitting there saying, I'm probably not going to use this fall. Fall demand destruction is expected to be massive. From a strict economic standpoint, this means nothing, but it's never that cut and dry. We have to look at the more human element of it. And that's what part of it is. And this is something we've talked about for the last 5 years. Morocco's been sitting there saying, we will not ship you any phosphate until this duty is gone. They held true to their word. I just don't want people thinking this is going to be the silver bullet that pushes prices from where they are down to like $300 a ton. Look at all those prices around the world. The global phosphate market is still struggling greatly. You've still got all the impacts that have been carried over from the Strait of Hormuz, and that's a big question of if it's open or if it's not. Chinese production's been suffering, and they're not exporting anything, even though they're starting to pick up on urea. All the production losses, all the export losses, prices are going to continue to be maintained at very, very high levels. But listen, when it's as stressful as it is, farmers need to celebrate any victory that they can get.
Yes.
I would have much rather had seen this news 12 months ago when we were the highest price in the world, but we don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We take the wins where we can take them. And today, this is the one we've got in front of us. So applaud the move, and I hope there's more coming behind it. Last week, we saw the anhydrous summer fill and fall prepay values come out. And you might be scratching your head and say, well, what do you mean? Why is there programs? When you look at a market like urea that's so much more of a commodity than anything else, there is no fill program. It's just you buy when you think the price is right.
Right.
Anhydrous is controlled by a few parties across the North American marketplace. Mm-hmm. So the manufacturers will come out with a program, and they say, this is the price. There's so many tons available. And the fill price was a little bit higher than what I was expecting to see. I was hoping for maybe it to be another 20, 30 bucks a ton cheaper. The number they came out with made sense. It was in the range of what we thought was possible. The fall prepaid number, very much in the middle of where we thought it was going to be. And it's a solid number versus where we're seeing global anhydrous values. By all accounts, from what we're seeing, uptake was very, very strong. The market said, yes, these numbers work. We are going to take a massive layer. And very quickly, manufacturers started to push their price up. They started to remove these programs and start to kind of scale back and say, okay, let's figure out what we sold and let's kind of get all of our numbers together before we come out with layer two. Now, the opposite side of that, and this is the thing that people are going to be watching very, very closely. Again, we have to talk about the Strait of Hormuz. We're going to talk about anhydrous. If the Strait does stay open, I know there's a lot of back and forth and ships are flowing and then they're not. But as we continue to get closer and closer to peace, that's a big win for global anhydrous buyers because it brings back Iran, mm-hmm. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, three of the world's biggest exporters. That's a major bearish situation for the world. And if that can continue going into these summer months, that's eventually going to get to the point where it weighs on those global values enough where inland markets are going to start looking at it and saying, why are we so high priced?
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Now, based on our current estimates, the principal crops total for 2026 is estimated at 309.6 million acres. This is down just 0.1%, or 312,000 acres from what was published back in the March prospective plantings report. And it's down 0.6%, or 1.9 million acres from the previous season.
Anthony Prilliman is chief of the crops branch for the National Ag Statistics Service. On the acreage report,
by looking at the corn acreage numbers that were released today, planted acreage in 2026 is estimated at 95.3 million acres. That's up just 5,000 acres from the March intentions, but down 3.5%, or 3.45 million acres from what was planted last year. Harvested acres for grain are forecast at 87.4 million acres. That is down 4.2% from 2025. And then that bottom table on this slide shows the top five states in terms of corn acreage for 2026 and how both planted and harvested acreage compared to last season. And then as a reminder, 1.9 million acres of that total planted estimate were reported as left to be planted during the time of data collection. Now, even though planted acreage is down from a year ago, this year's total still represents the fourth highest U.S. planted area since 1944. As you can see, the NAF's forecast falls close to the middle of the range of expectations, so probably not much of a surprise with today's number. Now, looking at the soybean acreage numbers, in today's report, planted acreage for 2026 is estimated at nearly 85.4 million acres. This is up 0.8%, or 665,000 acres from the March intentions, and up 5.1%, or 4.15 million acres from the previous season. Harvested acreage is forecast at 84.4 million acres. That is up 4.9% from last year. And as we discussed earlier, 8.05 million acres of the estimated total planted area were left to be planted at the time we spoke to the farmers. And then looking at those year-over-year changes to soybeans, now as you would expect, you see a lot of increases from last year due to the 5% increase in total U.S. planted acres. In fact, planted acreage is up or unchanged in 23 of the 29 estimating states. You can see that it too falls near the middle of the range, so probably not much of a surprise with today's number. All right, looking at U.S. cotton acres, planted acreage is estimated at 9.85 million in 2026. This is up 2.2%, or 210,000 acres from the March intentions, and up 6.1%, or 567,500 acres from last season. Now, as a reminder, we will publish our first forecast of 2026 harvested acres for cotton in the August crop production report. And then looking at the year-over-year changes, you will see increases in 12 of the 17 estimating states. I'll also point out that you'll see some fairly large increases in most of the southeastern states. This was mainly due to a reduction in peanut acreage. Now, today's cotton planted estimate is within the range of expectations, but is higher than most had anticipated. All right, let's now look at U.S. wheat acreage. We'll start with winter wheat. Planted area at 31.5 million acres is down 2.7%, or 890,000 acres. From the March estimate, the June planted acreage estimate was based on all available data, including current FSA certified acreage. Planted acres are down 4.9%, or 1.63 million acres from the previous season. Harvested acreage at 21.2 million was lowered 3.7%, or 805,000 acres from the previous forecast, and is down 16.8%, or 4.3 million acres from the previous season. All right, today's winter wheat planted estimate does look to be a surprise, with the NAS estimate falling below the range of expectations.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
Corn and soybean bases strengthened across much of the eastern Corn Belt. A surprise given the historical pattern typically pointing towards basis weakening heading into June.
Josh Strine is with Purdue's Center for Commercial Agriculture.
Corn basis to July futures strengthened in 38 of the 40 tracked crop reporting districts, while soybean basis held steady or improved across every track district. Corn basis movement ranged from a 5-cent decrease to a 21-cent increase per bushel between the third week of May and the third week of June. Soybean basis movement ranged from no change to a 28-cent increase. The greatest corn basis to July future strengthening occurred in East Central Ohio, where basis rose to a positive 13 cents per bushel above July futures, a level not seen in the district at this point in the season since the 2012-2013 crop year. On the other end of the spectrum, Northwest Iowa crop basis sits at negative 29 cents per bushel, 37 cents below the three-year historical average. The defining feature of the current basis map is the increasing basis from west to east. In Ohio, corn basis is running well above the three-year historical average across every tracked district. Northeast Ohio is the most extreme example. Basis in the district is currently even with July futures and 27 cents above the historical average for this time of year. Indiana is broadly above the historical averages as well, with many districts carrying positive or near even corn basis. In Iowa, the picture is reversed. Corn basis is negative across the state, with most districts priced 20 to 30 cents below the July futures and sitting 20 to 37 cents below the historical average. State-level ethanol plant basis reinforces the pattern. Ohio corn ethanol bids are running well above the historical average, while Iowa ethanol bids are well below. Turning to soybeans, basis held steady or strengthened across all track districts. The largest moves come in Iowa, where most districts gain more than 20 cents per bushel. Strengthening of Iowa basis has pushed the levels above the two-year averages in many districts for the first time this marketing year. However, basis across the state remain the lowest in the region. For example, in central Iowa, the soybean basis to July futures is negative 41 cents per bushel, but 9 cents above the historical average. In Indiana, the West Central District offers a stark contrast. Basis is just 2 cents below July futures and well above the historical average. Michigan has the strongest soybean basis relative to historical averages in the region. Southeast and West Central Michigan are both running 30 cents or more above their two-year averages. Basis in these districts remain negative in absolute terms, around 10 to 20 cents per bushel below July futures. Along the Ohio River, the average soybean basis is positive 19 cents per bushel, 8 cents above the two-year historical average. So what does all of this mean going into July? Historical trends relative to September corn and August soybean futures are encouraging. For corn, the historical pattern suggests continued strengthening across most track districts into mid-July. East Central Ohio, already at its highest level since 2012 and 2013, has historically seen some of the largest gains over the stretch. Michigan is the main exception, where most districts show a flat to slightly negative historical trend. For soybeans, the outlook is similarly positive across most of the region. Michigan, which already has the strongest basis market relative to the historical averages, has historically seen some of the largest gains into mid-July. However, with July futures approaching expiration in the coming weeks, basis tends to be more volatile, and monthly trends can match significant week-to-week swings. Looking ahead to next week, basis relative to July futures is likely to soften in some markets as the contracts approach expiration.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I'm very familiar with all the prior tries.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson, on the Securing Ag's Workforce Act.
There were two former agriculture chairman, Bob Goodlatte, when he became the judiciary chairman. He had not one, but two agriculture workforce bills he tried to bring forward. And ultimately, they failed. We had the Workforce Modernization Act that Dan Newhouse and Mr. Simpson and others, which I actually voted for out of the House. It also, as you said, it also failed to get across the finish line. You know, the difference is that all of those three previous tries, the ag workforce, the ag industry was splintered. You know, there were folks that for various reasons that that either kept their powder dry and would not support the bill or actively opposed the bill. We worked really hard, as you know, essentially a year and a half, 18 months to 2 years with the agriculture workforce work group. And also, you know, traveling the nation, as I mentioned, getting input from our farmers, our ranchers. We have brought the industry together. Today, as we said here, we're well over 400 agriculture organizations that are actively embracing, endorsing, and supporting this bill. And they're looking forward to working the Hill on our behalf. The agriculture industry has never been so fully unified behind this type of need this, in terms of agricultural workforce and quite frankly, the Securing Agriculture's Workforce Act is has their full attention and their full support. And I think that makes a difference. The other thing is that maybe differentiates this a bit is this isn't about citizenship. This is not about pathways to citizenship. This is not about illegal immigration. This is about a non-immigrant visa system, you know, that will provide for reliable, credible agriculture workforce, you know, workforce that will allow America to remain independent from a nutrition perspective, food security, and ultimately that leads to national security. So I just couldn't be prouder of the whole team that worked on this, including our farm organizations, our members. You know, Tony, we're sitting at right now at I think 47 original co-sponsors. When I introduced the bill, I think we'll probably hit at least 50 here of original co-sponsors. And that's, you know, to be an original co-sponsor, that's, I mean, you're putting your name out there even before the bill is introduced. And to have a group that size, I don't know if I've seen many pieces of legislation that have that many original co-sponsors. And then we'll be working on other sponsorship as well going forward. So this bill, I think, has some opportunities. And let me just say one other thing, and this is thanks to President Trump. The United States border with Mexico is secured. And that was always the excuse in the past when we'd want to work on this type of task. Other members would say, well, we just can't do anything like this. While the border's not under control of the United States. And I think that clears a pathway for this legislation, which is clearly needed since we haven't done anything since Ronald Reagan to address agricultural workforce.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.